This episode of Breakthrough Success is brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Go check them out at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough to receive 20% off your first 6 months. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Birdie, the podcast coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcast. And one of the things I know everyone wants to do is figure out how can we achieve success doing what we love? Because there are some people who they are successful, but they're doing something they don't like. There are some people who they are following their passion, but they don't see the money rolling in yet. So in this episode, we have a special guest who's going to join us and share how we can achieve success doing what we love. So our special guest, who is he? Well, he coaches leaders to play the game of life with purpose, grace, and ease. He specializes in sectors fueled by innovation and creativity, and his clients include directors of national arts organizations, worldwide ad agencies, and a wide range of entrepreneurs. He started his career as a TV presenter in the USA, launched his first TV production company out of his bedroom, and he sold it 8 years later to the world's largest production company, where it became the producer of Big Brother. So our guest for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Remy Bloomingfield. Remy, welcome to the show.
Mark, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be talking with you today.
Remy, it is such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success, and I look forward to sharing with all the listeners how we can achieve success doing what we love. So I'm wondering first if you could share with us a little bit of your own journey on being able to achieve success doing what you love and just some of the events that led to that big goal.
Yeah, so I guess as a child, I was quite lucky in that I had parents who were artists and they really encouraged me to find the work that I loved. They didn't force me down any path, although I think they would have been horrified if I told them I was going to be an accountant or a lawyer or something professional like that. They really wanted me and my brother to find whatever it was that we most enjoyed doing. And for me, that was, as a child, doing interviews on tape, and then later, as a young person, acting in the National Youth Theatre here in Great Britain, and I then became a TV producer. So I have always been lucky enough to be doing what I loved, and I ended up, as you mentioned very kindly in your intro, running a large TV production company, which I sold. A lot of my work later in my career was guiding people at the top levels of TV production. And in that role, you inevitably become a coach. Now, I didn't know I was a coach, and the people who I was coaching didn't necessarily want to be coached. And I had no training as a coach, but that was sort of what I was doing, listening to people's problems, helping them solve them, trying to find ways through where they were stuck. And inevitably, when you're working in the creative industries, as I was, the problems are always with you. If there's a problem that you can't solve, it's because of how you're approaching it. It's because of your mindset. It's because of something that's stopping you internally. So I was kind of a very unqualified coach for many years. And then I realized that maybe I should get some training. And it was actually in doing the training that helped me realize that this was my vocation in life. Obviously, I hadn't been plunked on earth age, 0 months to be a coach. But with maturity, I realized that coaching was what I wanted to do. And so that's what I do now, coaching other leaders, many like me, from creative fields who need support and guidance to help them through. And I'm very lucky, very privileged to be coaching people who are already doing what they love and already in some way feel that they should be feeling fulfilled and successful and happy, and often are not because they're human. But we can come to that later. So that's a little about me and kind of how I got to be a coach.
Yeah, and coaching, for everyone listening, coaching is such a great vocation. I see it in my podcasting and YouTube clients where, I mean, coaching, you really have a deep impact on people on a one-to-one level. And it's a very different kind of impact than just putting out videos and podcast episodes, which is really great too. But coaching is that next level impact. And I feel like there are so many people who they have an idea of what their vocation is, but they're not making money from it. Or some people think, depending on what their niche is, that you can't make money on it. Some people think that way about their niche. So can you share with us a little bit on, we have this vocation, we have this thing we love doing, how do we turn it into success and revenue?
Well, in my case, it was, you know, quite organic. It came from joy. I would say, generally, if you start from a place of what brings you joy and you work with people who you connect with, then the rest will follow. I think if you start from a place of saying, how can I make a lot of money? How can I be famous? Without the joy, you won't find the success. It's just one of those strange things in life that when you're doing what you love with people who get you, success, recognition invariably or very often follows. Whereas if you start with something that you think will bring you rewards and recognition, joy and fulfillment seldom come. So in my case, as a coach, I've built my practice very simply by appealing to people who are at the top levels of the game, leading in the arts and entertainment sectors primarily. I do coach some people from other sectors, and I'm very capable of doing that. But I tend to attract people who come from advertising, TV production, theater, film, the arts, and so on, because they feel like I understand their world. The truth is, Mark, as you know very well, as a great coach, you don't really need to understand anybody's sector because you're not coaching the industry, you're coaching the person, and people tend to have a lot more in common than they think. But in terms of what you were saying before, I so connect with that. You know, as a TV producer, I was reaching millions of viewers. And as a coach, I'm just working with one person at a time. But whereas with TV, you know, people's comments, you get people's comments saying they love the show or they didn't love the show. But as a coach, the feedback is so transformative. You're talking about transforming people's lives, people's experience of lives and loves. And it's just so incredible to see the recommendations come in on my site where people write to me about how I help shape them in their lives in difficult moments and help them transform and help them achieve breakthroughs where they didn't see breakthroughs were possible. So, yeah.
I mean, it is really great to be able to know who your audience is and give them those kinds of breakthroughs. And I think that's a really important, two really important points. Having that joy to pursue what you're doing, not thinking about the money, and also knowing who your audience is. So I think it'll be really great if we first talk about that joy factor, because I feel like people do create content out of joy, but then maybe later on when they see other people making money doing what they're doing, they're wondering, hey, why am I not making money doing this stuff? So like, I feel like the joy is something that, like, for people who have joy at the beginning, but then they're wondering, how can we make money with this? What would you say to that person who is in that stage of the journey?
Well, look, making money is often a very specific path depending on exactly what you're doing. And it's hard to be prescriptive in a way that's useful to everyone. You know, I very often have clients who feel like, yeah, that is the issue for them, that they're not making as much money as they would like. And because I've run successful businesses and helped entrepreneurs for many years, I'm able to be, I guess, more of a business mentor to them than a coach, because a coach, as you know, doesn't generally advise on, you know, exactly what to do. They ask questions which help you realize what to do. Whereas a mentor, and I often switch from that role. I say, look, okay, the coaching part of the session is over. Now let's go into some business mentoring. And I create a framework and a plan to achieve success. And I would say, Mark, that the really important thing to do in the area of finances is to set your goals very clearly at the top so that you understand for yourself what success would look like in the year ahead. Say, you know, 12 months ahead. It doesn't have to be a calendar year. It could be 12 months from September. What would success look like for you in your business? And put a number to that so that it becomes very concrete, because the problem is that if you don't commit to that number, what happens is in 12 months, success will look very different. And you'll say, oh, well, to me, success would have looked like X. And it tends to be defined by what other people are achieving, as you said just now, or what you haven't achieved. So it's very important to put a number down. What would success look like to you as a number? And then we find ways together to get to that number. So how many new clients would you need to bring on? How are you going to get them? How are you going to increase the level of the work that you're getting from clients? How are you going to charge more for that same work? So once we have a number that you're clear about that success would look like to you in the 12 months ahead. We then find a way to create an action plan around it. And by the way, that's what I do in every separate area. So if the area that you were looking to work on was joy, we would say, well, so what would a joyous year look like? How many trips abroad? How much time off? And so on. We put some flesh on it. So we have very concrete, measurable goals, just as concrete as they would be if they were financial goals. And then we underpin that with a plan to get there that's based on very sometimes quite small things that you could do literally tomorrow to make that happen. So if you know, your top line plan was, I want to take a trip to New Zealand for 6 weeks next August. Well, what are you going to do tomorrow to start planning that? How are you going to make sure that you have the time and the money available to make that happen? So I guess it's a combination, Mark, of big thinking, which is not limited by your fears or sense of self-doubt, and committing to those big ideas, and then underpinning it with quite small, actionable things that you can do to get there. And I always work back. I think it's interesting because as a TV producer, you know, I had to do this all the time. We created a big concept for a TV show, and we said, we're going to air it in September next year, and it's going to be 8 episodes, and it's going to cost $6 million. And then we had to work backwards from that event, because you couldn't not have the show be ready and finished on time and on budget in that time. We had to work backwards with a million small steps to make that show, the casting, locations, the crewing, etc. And that's sort of what we're doing with clients all the time to help them kind of produce their life.
Yeah, I love that. Coming up in this episode, you're going to learn how to get more clients, some of Remy's success habits, and a lot more. But before we get into that, first, I want to share with you the Jobber Minute. And there are a lot of different types of softwares out there. So if you're wondering if Jobber is right for you, we've got a few different businesses that have used Jobber, achieved really awesome results. So one of those businesses is HVAC Business Trust Home Comfort, was able to increase their revenue by $200,000 in just 1 year from using Jobber. Van Wu, the business owner, says Jobber's flexible options and inexpensive startup fees made it less risky for them financially, while features including their customer feedback function helped the company attain 40% of their jobs from customer referrals. Modern Plumbing's owners Paige and Ron Grover went from zero customers to fully booked in under 3 years. Since making the switch from pen and paper to Jobber, the company has earned over 250 positive reviews and 2 business awards, including the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for Ethics, by a unanimous vote. Paige says, I can't imagine not having Jobber. And with 23 employees under her makeup belt, Blush Artistry owner Heather Dix said Jobber's simple management tools, including her favorites, the full reports and follow-up prompts for quotes, helped her keep her team of artists and stylists on the same page. Jobber has allowed us to cut down on everything, hold on to our money, and charge efficiently, she said. It's also allowed me to work from anywhere. I don't think anyone would argue that an ocean view from the office is a bad perk. Glad we could make that possible, Heather. Read more success stories on getjobber.com and make sure you use getjobber.com/im/breakthrough to get 6 months for 20% off.
That insight, the idea of reverse engineering. So like, get clear on what your goal is, different action steps you have to take to get there, and then you actually go in and take action. Because if you don't do that planning, you're just blindly taking action. It's a shot in the dark. You hope you get lucky. But with Remy's approach, there is hard work in there. It's not all luck. It's you have this path, you know what to do, you have the action plan in place, and there's a lot of things Remy mentioned that you can make more money with, like getting more clients, charging more for your products and services, which is something that people usually don't do. So I think I am curious about what you do, just some of the things that work best for you for getting clients, because raising prices, that's just like when you feel more confident about what you're doing and you're getting more demand, you raise prices. But can you just share a little bit with us on how you get clients and what are some of the things that have been working?
Well, you know, I'm very lucky. I only take on a small number of clients at any one time, and they tend to refer each other. If you go to my LinkedIn profile or my website, you'll see the caliber of clients I have, and they tend to recommend each other because they themselves have their network. And that's just how it works for me. I do write a column for Forbes, which gets a lot of readers, and I do have a YouTube channel. And sometimes, you know, people find it reassuring to see the coach that they're going to be working with on video. And sometimes they like to read what I've done. Sometimes I've had clients who come to me from Forbes and said, I've been reading your pieces for a year, and I really would like to get your advice in person. There's multiple ways you can do it. And in the end, I would recommend that people do what feels best for them. That, you know, I come from a background of TV production, so I enjoy making TV programs. It's very easy for me to do my YouTube channel, which I run. I also know how to write. I've written scripts for years, so writing my Forbes column takes me about half an hour every couple of weeks. You should do what you find most easy and natural to you, because that's what speaks to people in the end. You know, if you are not a writer and you don't find writing easy, then if you write a column or write a blog, it won't speak to people because it's not your natural métier. And similarly with video, if you're not comfortable on video, don't make videos because you'll seem uncomfortable. So I do my writing, I do my YouTube channel, and most of my clients just come from word of mouth. So in the end, it's about doing what you do well enough so that people recommend you. And I'm very happy to ask people for recommendations as well. You know, in the States, it's more, people recommend more, but in the UK, people are a little bit shy, a little bit retiring, a little bit stiff upper lip. They don't like to always admit that they have a coach. And I'm very fine with just saying, do you mind recommending me? And when you ask, most people go, no, that's fine, I'd love to. So it's probably no magic solution for every coach, but do what you love, do what comes naturally, and ask people to recommend you.
Yeah, that's a really great point, because once you get the initial ball rolling, you can have those recommendations. And then you get business from people who say, wow, like Remy is really great at this. You should hire him for you. And that is something that could build up over time. As long as you keep showing up, you keep providing value, and people keep making referrals. And it's interesting how Remy also mentioned he's doing the Forbes column, he's on YouTube. So sometimes it's just putting out all this content. Someone who's listening to this episode right now may not think about starting a podcast or having a podcast coach, but a year now come to me and say, hey, I've listened to your Breakthrough Success episodes. I'd love to work together to launch, grow, monetize a podcast. So you have to think long term with this stuff. And there are some people who they follow you for a year and then finally make that decision to be a coach. So you definitely have to think long-term with this stuff as well.
I totally agree. And it's just about finding your audience. And you know, I've never found going to conferences, doing that kind of thing, successful unless you're on stage speaking. I do talk to trade organizations. I talk to, in Britain, it's called BAFTA, the British Association of Film and Television. I talk to them. I talk to certain membership clubs where the kind of clients that I have are members, because it attracts the, you know, arts professions. But generally it is word of mouth, and in my case, and that's what works for me. I am actually going to be trying a podcast with somebody who has their own podcast and be a regular guest on that here in the UK. It's going to be called Mirror Mentor, and it's basically a podcast where a younger entrepreneur interviews an older entrepreneur about the secrets of success. Because I think there's so much that is different between what kind of Gen Z and Gen Y have experienced and what my generation, I'm in my early 50s, experienced as an entrepreneur. And, you know, there's a lot we can learn from each other as well.
Yeah. And speaking of success, I am wondering if you can share with us some of the habits that you've developed along your journey that you would say have been essential for your success.
Yeah, well, you know, I do. I love the Noel Coward quote that the prow of a sinking ship is never the place to deliver a lecture on seamanship. And I think as a coach, it's kind of really important that you're leading a life you love, and you are successful if you're coaching people in being successful and leading a life you love. I think, you know, to be having a miserable life and not being successful and coaching other people in it would be kind of strange. So, you know, it won't surprise you, Mark, to know that I absolutely follow my own advice. I do an action plan every year, and I do it in January because that's when my year starts. And I have five pieces of paper One of them is personal life and home life. One of them is professional life, career and finances. One is fun, travel and adventure. One is health and fitness. And on each of those, I have my declarations of what I would like a successful year to look like for me, what I would like to achieve in each of those areas, and then how I'm going to do it. And then I put it away. After I've done it, it takes me, you know, a week or so to do that. So I'm happy with it. I read it out to my partner. I read it out to my best friend. And then I put it away. And you'd be amazed how much that's on my list actually materializes. And you'd also be amazed how nothing that isn't on my list miraculously happens. It's not like, you know, if I didn't plan to go to New Zealand for 2 weeks, I just happened to go. You only really manifest what it is you set your intentions on. And I really can't emphasize enough how powerful our intentions are. You know, when you set your mind to something and say, this is what I really want in the area of fun, travel, and adventure, or this is what I really want to achieve in the world of finances, somehow some of that happens. Not necessarily all of it, of course not. I'd be lying if I said, you know, everything on my list happens, but a lot of what's on my list happens, and I'm amazed by how much actually does. So I would recommend everyone does that. And another thing that might be a really interesting thing for your listeners to do is just check out my Wheel of Life exercise on my website. It's at vitality.guru. If you go there, you'll see there's a Wheel of Life exercise, and you just answer some questions, which basically elicit a neat diagram that gets emailed to you, which shows you where your life is out of balance right now. Because I think very often why we're not feeling fulfilled or successful is just because a couple of areas of our life are out of balance. So obviously finance is an easy one to see because it's numerical, but you know, it could be that you're focusing so much energy on career and finances that you just haven't had much fun recently. And when you do my Wheel of Life exercise, which I get all my new clients to do, you'll see very quickly which of the 12 different areas, there are 12 sections of the wheel, which of them is a little out of balance and which might need some nutrients. And it's a little bit like, you know, if you went to the doctor and had a blood test, he might say, you know, the reason you're feeling a little tired is because you need some iron. You're just really short of iron, Mark. So it's the same in my Wheel of Life. You'll do the test and you'll see where in your life your nutrition is a little bit lacking. And that, just by writing that, can often bring more joy, fulfillment, sense of purpose to your life.
Remy, really awesome stuff. We're going to drop the Wheel of Life link in the show notes. We'll also throw in a link for people who want to schedule a free strategy call with me to talk about launching, growing, monetizing their podcast, or just making money with their content in general. See if we can work together. MarkCabrera.com/strategy for anyone who's interested. Remy, are there any other key places that you want us to go to find you and follow your work more?
I'd love your listeners to check out my YouTube channel. I would love them to check out my website, vitality.guru. I do post regularly at Forbes.com, and I'm always happy to hear what people think of my columns. This week, I'm talking about how to use the long bank holiday weekend in the States, how to turn 4 days into a vacation state of mind, because often what we do on vacation is we pack all our problems with us and take them away, and then we're amazed that we don't have a great, fantastic time away. But mainly because in the old days that I remember, you know, pre-2001, you just didn't put your fax machine and your word processor and your filing cabinet into your suitcase when you went away for 4 days, whereas now it's all on your smartphone. And so people are just way too connected, and between social media and all the emails, they don't unwind at all. So that's what I've written about this week. That's be really interested to know what you think of that.
All of those links and more will be in the show notes of this episode of Breakthrough Success. Remy, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of your great insights with us.
Mark, I've loved every second. I can't wait to be a guest again. Thank you so much.
This episode of Breakthrough Success was brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Start a free trial or sign up today to receive 20% off your first 6 months over at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough.